Good afternoon and a very warm welcome to all of you to today's Bible class lesson. It's Mr. Parsons here, and today we're going to be continuing in our series on the I Am sayings of Christ. And in particular today, we're going to be looking at the phrase, I am the bread of life. So if you'd like to turn with me to the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 6, and we're going to be reading verses 1 to 14. So that's John 6, verses 1 to 14. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, When shall we buy bread, that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that everyone may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, There's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he just distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down. And likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. And then the Bible reading goes on to document Jesus going over the Sea of Tiberias, walking on the water. And when he came to the other side, the next day the people followed him, and we'll pick it up at verse 24. When the people therefore saw that Jesus wasn't there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me, not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labour not for the meat that perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then they said unto him, What shall we do, that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou, then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Let's just read that verse again. How wonderful it is. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. May God bless that reading of his word to us. The hymn today we're going to be looking at is on that theme of the feeding of the 5,000. It's hymn number 335 in our hymn book, and it's called Break Thou the Bread of Life. It's written by a woman called Mary Lathbury. She was an artist and a teacher, and she was a poet and a hymn writer. Her father was a Methodist minister, and it's a beautiful hymn. We're going to read verses 2 and 4. Thou art the bread of life, O Lord, to me. Thy holy word, the truth that saveth me. Give me to eat and live with thee above. Teach me to love thy truth, for thou art love. Verse 4. Bless thou the truth, dear Lord, now unto me, as thou didst bless the bread by Galilee. Then shall all bondage cease, all fetters fall, and I shall find my peace, my all in all. And we'll be talking a little bit later when we begin our lesson about what it means to be the bread of life, and what it means when Jesus said that he was the bread of life, and what we need to do about it. But before we come to our lesson, we're going to come before the Lord in prayer to ask him to bless our time together and to help us to understand his lesson to us today. So let's bow our heads and let's pray together. Oh, dear Lord God, we thank you that you are a kind and a loving God. You are a powerful and almighty God. And Lord, we thank you for these stories in your word of the Lord Jesus's power and might and majesty. Lord, he was able to do things here on earth that no man could do. Lord, he did these miracles in the full view of everybody. And Lord, we can learn so much by them. And we thank you, Lord, that you have brought us all here together today around your word to learn the truth for ourselves. We pray, Lord, that you will take out of our minds all distracting thoughts, everything that may stop us from listening properly, and help us, Lord, to be attentive and to be careful in the way that we hear. And Lord, we pray most of all that everybody listening to this message will taste of that living water, will taste of the bread of life. Lord, that they may drink and eat of the Lord Jesus Christ and live eternally with him. Oh Lord, we thank you for all the blessings that you give to us, not just in this world, but spiritually. And Lord, we pray that as we come before your word now, you will forgive us for all of our sins, all the things that we've done would have offended you, all the times this week that we've let you down, that we've done wrong things. Lord, take those sins away from us, we pray, and help us to concentrate on your word this afternoon. Lord, we pray for your Holy Spirit to come down amongst us as we gather together. Open our hearts, we pray. For we know that our hearts are sinful amongst all things. And Lord, we are desperately wicked. And Lord, we won't listen unless you open our hearts, you soften us, you speak to us first. We pray that you'll do that for each one listening. Lord, we just ask now for your blessing on this time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today we're going to be looking at Jesus' saying, I am the bread of life. And as I hope you know, when Jesus is using the word I am, he's using the name of God. That's the name that God gave to himself in the Bible, I am that I am. So Jesus is showing us that he's far more than just a man. So when he's saying I am, he's saying that he is God, God with us, as the Bible teaches. And then he uses these series of metaphors. We had living water last week. We're going to be looking at bread of life this week. These are ways that Jesus is describing his character and his mission. And we're going to be thinking about how bread refers to Jesus today. So bread is very much a staple food and has been since ancient times. I'm a big lover of bread. I bake bread regularly. I never get bored of it. It's something which fascinates me. I enjoy cooking it. I enjoy cooking different types of it. There are hundreds of different types of bread. And 99.9% of households in the UK will eat it. Households all over the world eat bread as a very basic staple food. I think I read something like 12 million loaves of bread are bought every day in the UK. It's an important and a necessary food for life. And today's lesson, we're going to be looking at why Jesus refers to himself as the living bread or the bread of life. So we read in the scriptures the story of the feeding of the 5,000. What an amazing miracle Jesus showed those people. And it wasn't something that was done to just one or two, a sort of magic trick done in a back room. This was a miracle, a mighty miracle done in front of probably about 10,000 people, if you count the women and children that would have been there too. So something that was marvelous done in the open air in front of 10,000 people. And it's recorded for us in each of the Gospels just to show how important it was. And we find Jesus being followed around by crowds of people. They followed him into the mountain. Why? Well, you'll have read or hopefully heard in the reading that Jesus has done very many miracles up to this point, healing all sorts of diseases and disabilities. And the Bible tells us that, it doesn't tell us that they went for the teaching, but it says that they went almost to see the spectacle. So if you turn back to the beginning of chapter 6, verse 2, it says, "And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased." They saw his miracles, so they followed him. They went for the spectacle. They went for the event. And in a way, they're no different to us today, really, are they? Are they? When you go into town, or you would have done before COVID-19, quite often you would see crowds of people turning out to get a glimpse of somebody famous or something interesting. Lots and lots of people would turn out and follow famous people. And it was no different in Jesus's day. Human beings haven't changed all that much. And Jesus at this point was at the height of his popularity, so much so that this crowd of 10,000 people or so followed him. And they were obviously there for a long time and they got hungry. And Jesus knew that there was no way that they could be fed from the towns round about. He knew what he was going to do, the Bible says. And he had compassion on these people who had followed him around, who needed the bread of life, but had no bread to eat. And he performed that mighty miracle where he turned those 5 loaves and 2 fishes into food enough for those 10,000 people and had 12 baskets left over to spare. And then we read, we missed the bit out in the middle where the disciples took a boat over the sea. Jesus went out walking on the water, but we picked the reading back up when Jesus was over at the other side in Capernaum. And the people, many of them, got in a boat and followed him over there the next day. Been a long and very difficult journey for them. And when we read in verse 25, when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi," which is teacher, "when camest thou hither? When did you come here?" And Jesus said to them, he said, in truth, I tell you that you're looking for me, not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and you were filled. You're coming for more food. You've come a long way. You've worked hard for bread. And then he says these words, "Labor not, don't work hard for the meat, the bread which perisheth, which is going to be destroyed, you're going to be hungry again, but work for the meat, for the bread that endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give to you." And here we have Jesus telling them that they ought to be laboring for that bread which endures to eternal life, the bread which is going to last forever, rather than the bread which will run out, which if they eat, they'll be hungry again. So what is the difference between the bread that we eat every day and this bread of life that Jesus is talking about? So it might be helpful to picture in your minds those pictures of starving children that we see often on our television screens, children, maybe refugees that have been forced to move to new areas because of war and conflict, or children who live in lands where we've seen recently there are locusts who have eaten all of the food. And we see people starving, people who are really hungry. And it's a really tragic sight. When we were growing up, or when I was growing up, when I was young, there was a big famine in Ethiopia. And those images were truly shocking. And people just wanted to do something because, you know, those children were hungry and crying and starving, and their bodies were wasting away. Those children had no strength. And really, this is what our souls look like to God before we're converted. He sees our souls looking pathetic, emaciated, weak. And this is the part of us that matters the most. This is the bit of our person that will survive into eternity. And yet we've totally neglected it. He sees the real person inside us as starving and dying because we're living without God. Year after year after year, we're desperately in need of heavenly bread that only the Lord Jesus Christ can provide. So what do we mean when we talk about spiritual food? Obviously, it's not the sort of food that you eat, but spiritual food is when we feed on the Lord Jesus Christ. We feed on his word. To do that, we have to repent of our sin and we have to give our lives to him. We have to follow him, and he puts spiritual lives into our souls. It's a bit like if you think about the phrase, I had him eating out of the palm of my hand. When people say that, they mean that the person who is eating out of the palm of the hand is really desperately trying to hang on every word that the other person says. And that is what it's like to feed on the Lord Jesus Christ. When we're converted, he becomes the most important thing to us. He becomes our all. He comes first in everything that we do. You know, we look to him. And as we obey him day by day, so he blesses us in so many different ways. We get that spiritual life. We understand God better, we love him more, and we can pray to him. And because that soul is active, we feel the Lord in a living and personal way. And it begs the question, doesn't it? Is that your experience? Have you received spiritual bread in your soul? Do you know the Lord for yourself? Does he mean everything to you? Or are you still in the world and are you still far from God? That's something that you need to think about and need to ask yourself that question. Because it's only spiritual food that is satisfying. It's only this spiritual food that is satisfying. The Lord, when he talks to us about the food he's offering, he says it endures to eternal life. This is something lasting. This is something satisfying. This is something that is wonderful, that gives us joy and peace. This is something that will fulfill us in our lives. And when you think about what this world promises, you know, it promises that, you know, if you give your life to it, it will give you happiness. If you get lots of money, you will be happy. If you have fame and fortune, you will be happy. It peddles these lies that we so often fall for, that our happiness and our satisfaction in this life is through things, through gaining more stuff. And really what the Lord Jesus is saying here is, the food that he's offering, the spiritual life that he is offering, is the only thing that will fill you up. It's the only thing that will be satisfying to you. Everything else will leave you empty, will leave you hungry, will leave you wanting more. Only the food that the Lord Jesus Christ gives, the spiritual food that he gives us, will satisfy us for eternity. So what must we do? What is our response to this? Well, imagine if you're a really hungry child and somebody gave you some bread that was just out of the oven and put it in front of you. What would you do? Well, you'd say I'd eat it. You know, I would take it straight off the plate and I would shovel it in my mouth as fast as I could. And that's true, because the bread, you know, would do you absolutely no good if you just stared at it. If it was put down in front of you and you were told to eat it and you said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I'd rather be hungry. You wouldn't do that, would you? And yet, this is what Jesus is saying. He's offering these people eternal life. These people that worked so hard to get over to see him in Capernaum. He said, why are you working so hard for something that is going to make you hungry again? Why don't you take the bread of life that I'm offering you? Jesus gave his life for us. He died on the cross of Calvary because he loved us so much. He asks us to seek forgiveness and to believe in him. That's all he's asking us to do. Like, eating bread is not difficult, is it? And trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and believing in him is not difficult either. And it's useless just to come to Sunday school or church and listen, but never make that decision for yourself. Never believe in him for yourself for salvation. How pointless, how ridiculous. It would be like a starving child leaving the bread in front of them, wouldn't it? And that's what we say to you every week. You need to experience this for yourself. The Bible says you need to taste and see that the Lord is good for yourself. But what else can we learn from bread? There are so many lessons. That bread is a basic food. In olden times, it was often bought before anything else, so that people had something to eat. So if anybody wants to be a complete person, the bread of life, the Lord Jesus, must also come before anything else. It's the foundation. It's the basic necessity of our lives. And we must search to find him because he's more important than anything else. Secondly, bread is necessary every day. Real Christians receive the help and blessing of the Saviour every single day. They pray, they read the Bible, they will meditate upon it, will think about it, will live their lives according to God's word. And that is a great blessing to them. Number three, bread builds up the body. There's protein in bread. It makes you strong, gives us energy. People who draw on the Lord Jesus Christ are built up with spiritual energy. They develop deeper and stronger characters. Just like if you ate the right food, you develop a stronger body. So eating spiritual food will give you a deeper and stronger character. We've said again that bread provides energy. It gives us the motivation for life, strength to overcome temptation, the ability to cope with the stresses and strains of life. If you take what Jesus gives you, you'll be able to live your life as it's meant to be lived. And finally, bread is cheap. We were saying earlier, it's accessible. It suits everybody. And conversion to Christ is for everyone. It's for rich and poor, wise and simple, old and young. The bread of life, the Lord, will receive and bless all who sincerely come to him for pardon and for life. And it's especially important, that point, isn't it, when we think about all the issues that are happening in the news right now. The gospel is something that transcends all the boundaries between people. If you read Galatians 3 verse 28, you'll see that in Christ there is no Jew or Gentile, there's no racial distinctions, there's no slave or free, there's no class distinctions, there is no male or female, there's no gender distinctions. In Christ we are all equal, and before the throne of God we all have an equal place. So to finish, what kind of bread are you spending your life working for? The bread of this world, the amusements, the riches, the food, the drink of this life? Or are you building up for yourself that treasure in heaven? Are you building up that spiritual food that will last into eternity. We hope and we pray that as we go through these series and we see Jesus challenging the people around him to take of this living water and to eat of this living bread, that you will take that challenge for yourself. Do you know the Lord for yourself, or do you need this eternal spiritual food that comes only from believing and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ? Let's pray together. Our dear Lord God, we thank you that we can come before your word, and we thank you, Lord, for these wonderful teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, he taught as no man did, and Lord, we thank you for the challenges to each and every one of us to drink of this living water and to eat of this living bread, because through it and only through it will we be satisfied, and Lord, in this life, and be satisfied into eternal life. Lord, we pray that each one listening to this message, each precious soul, will analyze their own lives and will come to you and bow the knee before you as our Lord and Savior. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will bless us over the coming week. Help us, Lord, in all that we do, and help us, we pray, to really grasp hold of this spiritual food that comes only from above. For we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. To remind everybody that there's a quiz also on the Easter Lodge Tabernacle website for you to go and test your knowledge of last week's lesson. I hope you all find it there and be able to have a go. That'd be wonderful. And also there are links on the website to our Sunday services. So if you'd like to join on Zoom, you can find the links on the homepage, or alternatively, you can find us on YouTube. We'd love to see you on the Lord's Day if you can. So thank you very much for listening. I hope you have a blessed week. Take care, and I hope to see you all very soon. Bye-bye.